I'm someone who loves trying out different makeup looks, but doesn't really wear much on a daily basis, so I like to focus on making sure I have high quality staples. And whether you like a fresh face, full glam, or somewhere in between, you've probably seen Thrive Cosmetics Viral Tubing Mascara. I've certainly seen it everywhere. You know, the one in the turquoise tube? So that mascara, along with all of Thrive Cosmetics' beauty products, are certified 100% vegan and cruelty-free, which I look for in makeup, and they've got excellent quality to match. And something I didn't know from all the mascara videos I've seen is that for every product sold, Thrive Cosmetics donates either that same product, another product that is needed more, or a monetary donation. They've worked with over 500 nonprofits to help with a wide range of causes like supporting cancer survivors, people experiencing homelessness, education access, and so much more. Knowing that makes me feel even better about using their products. And I do enjoy using them. Like I said, I like having high quality staples, and so my favorites are products that are multi-purpose, like the Brilliant Eye Brightener. It comes in a bunch of colors, and I like using them as eyeliner, eyeshadow, and even highlighter. Thrive Cosmetics is luxury beauty that gives back. Right now, you can get an exclusive 20% off your first order at thrivecosmetics.com/thrive. That's Thrive Cosmetics, CAUSEMETICS, .com/thrive for 20% off your first order. You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales, because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
Bottom one. Bottom one! Okay, I'm one.
Why would you do that?
I don't know. I'm just trying to see it.
That's not how humans talk to each other. You monster.
We get it. You're a bottom.
Yeah, right.
You imagine?
Yeah, right. You heard about my drill?
I'm sorry, bottoms don't get stalked like this.
Yeah.
I'm kidding. They absolutely do.
I'm dyking out, you're dyking out. Let's dyke out together. See what it's all about. Dyking out, dyking out, dyking out, dyking out.
Hi, and welcome to Dyking Out, a podcast that makes a great icebreaker on the dating apps. I'm Carolyn Bergier.
I'm Sarah York.
And today we're dyking out with comedian and performer Colette McIntyre about being fat and queer. She hosts the comedy show I Think We're Alone Now at New York Stonewall Inn every month with Olivia Levine, who we had on the podcast last week. And Colette, so glad that we got to have you both back to back.
I know. So happy.
I wish you could have had you. Right. I was going to say, like, it would be fun to do the same, but I feel like it would be too much.
It's like she's an only child and I'm a youngest child.
Oh. Yeah.
So then we just would have been screaming over each other, like tap dancing for affection
the whole
time.
Yeah.
Which is what our show is. I'm not selling our show. Our show is very fun.
It is very fun.
I like that you can separate your careers though. Like you're sort of like a late stage Olsen twins move where you're like, we are collectively a successful unit.
Thank
However,
you.
We each have our own thing.
I would prefer if you compared us to the Sprouse twins because they're younger. And I do think that is what lesbians are looking for now.
Right.
Aesthetically,
I
everyone wants
agree.
To fuck a lady Cole Sprouse,
I'm
and that's me,
for a
baby.
Dylan vibe myself.
Oh, I
yeah.
see it. Oh, I see that, and I'm digging it.
You know, there was a band that we reached out to, and it wasn't Tegan and Sarah. I mean, we reached out to them too, but I said
are there
that,
other bands? I'm not.
Yeah,
in the world,
it's the one other band other than Tegan and Sarah,
yeah.
And. We said that we could interview them separately, but because it's just too much, four people on one episode, it's too many people talking.
It's too much.
Oh, of course, yeah.
Yeah,
that's what men do on their podcast.
Yes, right. We already struggle with, like, talking over each other with three people. So four, I can't imagine. And they were like, together or nothing. I'm like, oh,
oof.
Okay.
Oh,
they're also a lesbian couple. So
that's why.
All four?
These two.
We would make
four in a room is
untenable.
It's like we are legion. We cannot be
separated.
That sounds healthy.
Yeah. No, that's what I thought. I was like, this sounds kind of unhealthy.
Yeah.
But anyway, our next Stonewall show is August 26th, and we will be announcing the lineup soon. Tickets are available now. Go to dykingout.com/events, and it should be a lot of fun. So come out to that. And also, I'm going to be doing some stand-up outside of New York. So check out cbcomedy.com and see. I'll be adding dates throughout the month of August, I hope. I hope people still want me to grace their stages and tell.
I think they will.
My dark jokes. Yeah. So on the way here, Sarah sends me a screenshot of
our
self-proclaimed Lord of the Lesbian.
Yeah,
we are ripping the title from Leah Delaria.
Oh, here we go.
Yeah.
So here I have a bit of a bone to pick with Leah Delaria. First of all, I just find her to be, everyone knows who she is, I'm sure. Google her if you don't. She played
Boo
on Orange is the New Black. I find her Instagram, her social media presence in general to be a little grating in a way that, sort of reminds me of how there is such a sharp contrast in the age divide within the queer community. Mm. Absolutely not saying that this reflects all women of a certain age within the queer community. However, she has sort of this relic. She's sort of a relic of a different era, I think. And I think there's nowhere more clearer than that than in her social media presence. Basically,
really
she
manifests in a caption.
So she has this thing, this tendency on Instagram to create captions with her photos that often say, like, things that are sort of thinly veiled misogyny. Mm. The example was this on the way here today, the birthday post to Taylor Schilling.
I have it right in front of me. Do you want me to
read the caption? Yeah.
Happy belated birthday to this goddess, Taylor Schilling. Got nothing but love for you, Tay-Tay. Sorry I missed you yesterday. I was screwing a girl.
There it is.
So, see, all you had to do, like, that could have been, the first part of that's fine. That could have been just a birthday post to her friend Taylor Schilling. However, she had to turn it into this fucking gross, like, the kind of thing that, like a filthy old man would say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And my problem with it is that if we're going to apply any standards whatsoever to men on social media, we need to apply those same ones to all people who are attracted to women. Like,
yeah,
you can't say these things and proclaim to be some sort of like bastion of like, you can't, first of all, no one is Lord of the Lesbians. That's the dumbest fucking thing I've ever heard in my life.
Even though we do sell a Lord of the Lesbians shirt with Ellen DeGeneres on it.
Yes,
that was based on a Samira Wiley cute clip. So dykingout.com/merch.
Yeah, please buy that. But
we're not a monarchy system.
Yeah,
we're not gonna follow any system. To be whatever, I don't know, like pagan witch cults used to do.
We all know Laura Dern is the Lord of the Lesbians.
True.
I find it to be gross when, particularly like speaking on behalf of mask presenting women, when women who carry the aesthetic of masculinity also carry the bullshit toxicity that accompanies men, typically. Like, you don't have to be a fucking gross old man pervert on Instagram to be, like, outwardly queer. Like, there are ways to tell the world that you're attracted to women, to be proud of that and to be proud of who you are, to take pride in your sexuality, to own it, to be all these things, but you don't have to be a fucking gross old guy about it. Like, I'm sorry. It drives me fucking crazy. I think she is a relic, like I said, of a different time. And I don't understand. I personally don't believe she has any relevance in the queer community as far as like celebrities go. And I just,
even though she
opened a club in P-Town, whatever. I don't care. Like, it's, I really long for the days when we are far past these women taking up space in pop culture.
Yeah. For, and even if she's she's joking, and based on stories we've heard of Leah Delaria around New York and how she is when she goes to like Cubbyhole or Henrietta Hudson, that she stands around saying that she could fuck anybody there, and this like really
just an aggressive
drunken bravado kind of. Right. And it's if anybody said I was screwing a girl.
Imagine, I just want you to imagine for a second that a B-list male actor said that. A B-list straight male actor said that.
Yeah.
Like you said earlier today, like if the guy from Stranger Things said that.
Yeah.
Or if I don't fucking know, just think of any actor you can think of who is attracted to women. If they said that, that, to me, that would probably go viral. And people would be like, oh, what a fucking creep.
Yeah.
Like, that's like some kind of, like, that's language that suggests behavior that suggests you might be sort of a Me Too problem.
Yeah,
you
know? And it's total objectification of women. Screwing a girl as if she's like this passive, young thing that you did something
like,
to,
no,
and they weren't like
engaging in it.
I just don't think it's funny.
Right, well,
it's like, not funny. It's not fucking funny.
It's not funny.
It's like
a simultaneously creepy old man and like 14-year-old boy like in the back of the school bus.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I fuck.
Yeah.
Yeah, I took those titties and did what you do to titties to them. It's like, why are you... Who ends a birthday message with, and just so you know, I fuck.
Yeah, and that's why I couldn't wish you a birthday. It seems like a contrived way to say something perverted that's just fucking not necessary and not funny for someone who's who has a career in comedy.
Right, it's this idea that we're supposed to find it empowering or powerful.
Yeah, there's nothing
like a queer woman
that.
Standing up and like claiming the and publicly announcing the sex that she has. But it's like, do you also have to dehumanize the person that you're having sex with?
Yeah.
Right. Like, if that's even a reference to a specific person.
Right.
It's probably, it may not be, but like, it's just so.
Yeah. Leah, we both know you probably just fell asleep.
Yeah.
Before you got to the Instagram
post. You're
over 60. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just say you were taking a nap.
You were shuffling around.
Yeah. Like, I just have so little faith in like baby boomers in general, but this is just like, this to me, and again, not to be ageist, but I think that there is a certain type of celebrity that we are moving past, and I think that
hopefully.
She is in the fucking rearview mirror of pop culture, and I hope to keep it that way. And I just think that there's so much talent out there, and there's so many fucking wonderful, talented queer comedians, musicians, performers, actors, everyone that I wish got a little more attention than people like her do within the community, in a way. And there's so many comments under her post were
Well, how are people reacting?
They were like, ha, that caption, LOL, like, like the laughing emojis and stuff. I'm like, this is, and all for women, too.
Mm.
It's fucking gross.
I know. If I were even marginally confrontational, I would have commented on it.
I'm going to comment.
Like,
I have too much shit to do today to get in a fucking Instagram fight with Leah Delaria, but I'm going to when I have the time, because I know she'll respond.
Oh, 100% she'll respond.
She reads all of her comments.
Yeah.
She's not that fucking famous. She's reading her comments.
Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't like it at all. Drove me nuts. Anyway, moving on.
No, I think that's important.
As you said, I think so eloquently.
Yeah.
It's like, that's not, why are we bringing over all the toxicity that comes with masculinity?
Yeah.
Why is that valuable within the community that we're trying to establish?
Yeah.
Like, we have an opportunity to create a different kind of society. So it's so bizarre to me when we re-engage and like those same patterns and behaviors.
Absolutely.
And act as if that's like radical.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's much of a leap to say that the same lesbian women who have this toxic masculinity are also the same ones who are like, no trans women in our spaces.
100%. It's super turfy. Yeah. Right? It's
100%.
Just,
right?
Yeah.
That's the vibe
not
it gives
it's
me.
A turf, but like, those are some turf-esque qualities.
Right.
And I'm also not
like
saying that those, that this whole bringing elements of shitty elements of masculinity along with the aesthetics of it is exclusive to older women, because it's absolutely not. Because I know I've met younger women who also act this way as well.
Well, the people liking the post were
younger women. Yeah, exactly.
And I was shocked.
Yeah.
I was frankly shocked.
It's just not even a good joke.
It's not a good joke. That offended me the most, I think.
Yeah.
I'm like, at least you got to build a better bridge than that. Like, that's not your...
Let's
this
do
is
some
meandering.
Work here, Leah.
Let's punch this up. Let's workshop this
first
a little
let's,
bit, Leah.
Screwing. That's the verb we're
who
using.
Who the fuck says screw anymore?
Also, 100%, Taylor Schilling read that and was like...
Rolled her eyes.
Mute.
I guarantee she rolled her eyes.
Taylor Schilling said, remind me who this is, again? I'm not particularly...
No, it looks like I took a photo with her in 2011.
I love my fans. She wrote back, I love my fans.
Yeah.
I was talking to one of the actors from one of the later seasons of Orange is the New Black, who is more on the butch masculine side, and they made a passing comment about how toxic Leah is.
Well, we know someone who worked for a magazine who sat down and interviewed her I'm not going to say who it was, but she sat down and interviewed her for a very big publication a few years ago, but kind of when Orange was like really popular.
Yeah.
And they went out together professionally.
Right.
And the whole time, and she's a very femme presenting queer woman. And the whole time Leah DeLaria was like saying really disgusting things to her, like coming on to her, like, is this like acting like it was a date? And she was like, she told, according to this person, she said something about one of her coworkers on the show, who happens to be like one of the biggest stars on the show, and Leah DeLaria said, "I want to put my dick in her mouth." That was the again, this is secondhand information.
Right,
that was
course.
A quote directly from my friend who worked with
we
her.
We would never accept this behavior from
we
straight men.
We would never accept it from straight men.
Never.
Ever. Like, I truly think that I'd find her to be fucking vile.
And I think she's kind of a bully. Like, I'm sure with all of the queer women who are on that show that someone has had to have called her out on this.
Yeah.
I would.
One would hope. She's not that big of a star. Like,
yeah.
She's, I would say.
But she seems like a bully and that she would really just like make your life miserable if you did call her out. And
I imagine she just plows over like anyone.
Yes.
Any criticism.
Any criticism at all. And it's like, you don't get it.
Yeah. She'll be like, you're just jealous because you're not screwing girls like I am.
You're not giving them the old Wang doodle. Yeah. Like, what are you talking about, Leah DeLaria?
What fucking decade is this?
I like
are you an old timey sailor?
She's a sailor,
on a name?
Truly.
Wang truly. Doodle.
And that's a direct quote from Leah DeLaria.
Yeah, that's the name of her strap-on, is Wang. Mr. Wang Doodle.
Oh, gross. Oh, my God.
I feel like that's a good improv team name, Leah DeLaria's strap.
Yeah. Leah DeLaria's problematic strap.
It's going to be the new Artful Nudes of Patty.
Well, exactly. Well, now that I've burned that bridge.
Yeah.
Yeah, wow. And so next week's guest, Leah DeLaria and her problematic strap. Bring it in.
My anxiety, if we had her on the podcast, would be, I don't
know. Oh, peaking.
Yeah, I
we
couldn't.
Wouldn't. I, for the record, will not work with her professionally ever.
I would be terrified.
Yeah.
What else is going on? Anything?
No, nothing. It's so fucking hot out. I'm over it. I'm
not
built for this aesthetically.
I know.
You're going to tell that to me as a big bitch. It is truly on my way here.
It's homophobic. This weather's
almost,
homophobic.
It is homophobic. It is fat phobic.
It
is like, have you seen Shrill?
Yeah.
Sorry, don't think you did. Weather. Learn something. But this is, being on the New York City subway on those plastic benches, it is so rude to me. The number of times when the train stops, I'll slide off from the power of my own collected sweat.
Yeah.
Like a slip and slide I did not ask for.
Which is the worst kind of slip and slide.
Yeah, the one that really creeps up on you and it's your own body fluids.
Yeah. That's like, I'm disgusted by on London's tube that it's cloth seats, yet the tube is so much nicer than the MTA.
Yeah.
But then when I see like
Chicago's is cloth too, and it freaks me the fuck out.
Paris is also cloth.
But then
I'm
that,
like, you guys are
that absorbs the sweat kind of.
Yeah,
but then I've never slept out and had to be wet.
But then you're like surprised
sitting
in a. It
absorbs everything. Like, how does it not? I don't get it.
I know.
Like, some of us need it to be absorbed. I'm willing to accept.
I would love it now.
Yeah, I think the cloth seats are like 90% skin flakes, but oh man,
it is so bad. I just feel like summer isn't good for any queer people because I need sort of a constant breeze to feel good about myself.
Right.
Like, I understand why Beyonce has like a team of people who place the fans where they do when
around
she's
her.
On, yeah, all the time.
All the time. No, she gets out of the shower.
Just like
fan team. Yeah,
I love it.
I mean, I think that's a controversial statement, though, because summer is a big, especially in New York, it's a big season for the queers because they're going out to Fire Island.
Sure.
They're breaking up with their girlfriends.
Take a breeze.
Yeah.
They're doing crazy shit.
They're wearing a tank top and no bra.
No bra.
Just living.
I feel like it's just about going to Jacob Reese and blowing up your relationship. That's what like late spring, summer is all about.
I know. I feel like just left out that I don't have a picture of me topless with emojis on my nipples on Instagram at Jacob Reese.
That's a possibility.
We are so close to that ferry.
I know.
I will take those photos.
It's so accessible, yet for me, I would, like, 10 out of 10, rather get on a plane to Miami.
Yeah.
Really?
Than go to New York Beach. And it drives my wife insane. We're going to Buffalo next weekend, and we're going to go to this island called Beaver Island. If you want to get me to call it Beaver Island. Call it Beaver Island, and yes. I am there.
Yeah.
And we're going to Beaver Island with my nephews. And what?
Leave the nephews off Beaver Island. Don't bring the nephews to Beaver Island.
They got to learn sometime. And my wife's like, okay, so we're going all the way to Buffalo, and you'll go to a beach in Buffalo. And that's like in the Niagara River, but you won't go to
that to me
a New York
sounds
City
like
beach.
It's not as hot, though. Maybe
it's not
it
as
is.
Hot.
Yeah, exactly. Because it's like Niagara. It just feels like there's a mist happening. Yeah. I don't know.
But it
I don't know anything about water.
It is close to Lake Erie, which is 100% toxic.
Yeah.
Like,
no, you'll be
it's
fine.
A lake made of diarrhea.
Yeah. I mean, I do sure. love that we're like, the beach is this like symbol of like paradise and luxury and like, oh, I go there to relax. Yeah. And you're just sitting on like hot burning glass direct into the sunlight's wrath.
Yeah. Yes.
And, like, what we do for relief is, like, dive into this water filled with, I don't know.
Toxic waste, for all
toxic
we know.
Toxic waste.
Yeah.
People are just pissing next to you left and right.
We really just put a lot of trust in our fellow man at that point. Every step you take, you trust that no one has left, like, a heroin needle in that spot where you're stepping.
What's the bathroom situation at Jacob Reese?
I have no idea. I've never
Does
been to Jacob
know?
Reese.
So there are bathrooms. But, like, when you're at the queer part, you're far away from the bathrooms.
Yeah.
They don't give us bathrooms out there.
Like, people will just, like, deal with it on a... There's, like, a fence kind of going around.
Uh-huh.
And they'll just, like, squat there and everyone accepts as a community that, like... And we will
not
gaze.
Yeah.
We will accept that space as a safe space. Or you just go into the... I don't know what people do with the poos.
Oh, man.
I do need to know the poos situation before I go out there.
Pooing at Reese is going to be... I'll be a girl on the street. You know, you guys are like, oh, our beach correspondent Colette is out. She's a new update. Pooing on Reese at Reese. Colette, what's happening? I'm like, thank you, Caroline and Sarah.
This will get me to Jacob Reese Beach if we
Absolutely.
Do a pooing at Reese.
Reese. And you just ask everyone, have you pooed and where did you poo?
Can you direct us in the general direction of where you pooed?
Oh, my God. The one time I went to Bonnaroo, what I didn't know about it was before you get there, there is a, like, on the highway, all the cars pull off to the side and form a line of cars just to get into it.
Oh.
So you're waiting in this line of cars for up to, like, 3 hours.
No.
And nobody prepared me for that.
To get in?
To get in. So I had to pee, and I already have, like, some level of bathroom anxiety in a public restroom. So peeing outside for me, it's something I never did in college when drunk or whatever. It never came to that point for me because I planned for that scenario. I'm like, I'm not.
It seems too feral for you.
I can't
imagine you doing
feral.
That.
I can't. I've tried like camping and peeing in the woods, even that.
No, yeah. Meanwhile, I'd be like just fully bottomless for no reason. Like you could have just pulled your panties inside. And I'm like, look at me.
Like when 3-year-olds are learning to pee in the toilet and they like completely undress.
I thought that all men at urinals pulled their pants completely down and it was just a row of butts. And I have an older brother and he was like, no. And no, maybe when you're 2.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
But anyway, so you're in this car. You have to
well,
pee.
Yeah. So I get out of the car. There's like, at first there's like no trees. And then there's like one tree. And then there are a few people that are out that seems like this is the area where you relieve yourself. So I went with my... I was going with my ex-wife at the time. This was before we were married, and her sister. So me and her sister go to pee, and I even though like my bladder is so full, I said, can we just have our like backs facing each other? Because I don't want you to see me pee. Like that's going to make me too nervous. So I'm already being super high maintenance about
this. It's too conversational.
You have a shy urethra.
Yeah, I do. Yeah. A very shy urethra.
A ladylike urethra.
But what I said to her was, can we be back to back? And she thought I wanted to pee with our back
literally
touching. And she looked at me and she's like, are you insane?
A trust lean.
Yeah, trust lean.
Unbelievable. Yeah.
So then...
So then she presses against you?
No,
and you're like, what's happening?
No. She
takes off all of her clothes.
Yeah. She looked at me like I was an insane person. And then I clarified. So then we go, and I'm like trying to position myself behind this tree enough so that these cars that are just there full of people mm-hmm. aren't seeing me pee. And I also want to be far enough away from my future sister-in-law that she like can't even hear me pee or know that I'm peeing, even though this is the mission.
Right.
And I was like pants down. I couldn't go. And I'm like sort of like shifting and waddling, whatever. And I come back to the car and my ex is like, she's like tears on her face,
no.
laughing so hard because she's like, you looked like a fool, but yeah. also managed to like find the one space where like everyone could see you. And
I that's amazing.
Yeah. So I mean, that's all you need to know about
like
me.
That seems like too much to go through to see Blink 182.
Yeah.
Like, I can't.
That tree was actually a member of Edward Sharpe and like the Magnetic Zeros.
They and have he was an like, active restraining
stop.
Order.
Yeah. Well, like, and here's my struggle with like peeing with ladies, because you know that's like such a stereotypical thing. They're like, girls love going to the bathroom together.
Yeah.
And so I'll go with my friends to like all before a movie or whatever the fuck at a bar. And I don't know when we all agreed that since we're all drinking the allotted amount of water we're supposed to drink every day. So their streams, they have like Brita filters in their pussies. Their stream like crystal clear. Not that I'm looking, but then like I'll get up, like they'll get off the toilet and be like, yeah. let's just like conserve water
yeah.
and like pee on my pee. And I'll look down, I'm like, did you pee?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then I get down and it is like a fucking orange Gatorade.
Mine looks like nuclear
yes.
waste.
And like in like the aroma in the room, poison. They're like, this is tear gas. Their eyes are burning. I'm like, I'm sorry. I had a glass of water yesterday, maybe.
They're like, are you putting battery acid in all yes. your water? Like, what the fuck is going on with
like,
you?
Like, have you heard of a liquid ever? They're like, it's sand. Literally what's just coming out of me is sand. So I can't do it. I can't.
I know, I do have to be alone. Like, I can't do the group bathroom thing anymore. I feel like I did it at one point in my life. But then I always had, like, the anxiety of going into the bathroom with all my little straight friends of, like, especially before I came out.
Yeah.
Where I was like, ooh, I don't want to be in the bathroom with a bunch of girls because they find out I'm a lesbian.
They're
going to hate
me.
Yeah, it's just that the normal swirl of anxiety that accompanies pre-coming out anyone. So, I don't know.
It taints all things.
Yeah. Primarily what I'm doing in a restroom now is just looking at my phone.
Yeah.
Like, I'm the one on the bathroom in, like, a single stall bathroom. Oh, yeah.
What are you, a dad?
I know.
Like, no, it's my only time I get alone here.
I gotta get away from the old ball and chain.
Just let me play my games.
Yeah.
I got this new game on my phone.
I got Candy Crush on my Samsung phone.
Yeah, like these welts on your ass from
But I get a little distracted, and I'm like, oh, shit, I'm, like, in the only bathroom in this place. I better get the fuck out.
Yeah. You know, sometimes when you live in New York, you really need to find your safe space wherever you can
right,
get it.
Any room
that you're in alone feels like a luxury.
Yeah.
It's like, unbelievable to be
palace.
Alone somewhere.
For sure. Okay, let's get into our topic. I mean, we started hitting on it. Summer, beaches. So my general thesis, I would guess, is that the queer community is more accepting of different body types.
I mean,
than the straight community.
I think
not
like
for gay men.
Yeah.
Not for gay men.
Oh, definitely not for
gay men.
Well, yeah, but
story.
I want to know is that because I feel like so many queer women I know are so like body positive and at like Jacob Riis Beach, it doesn't matter. Like I've seen Instagram photos of women and men and non-binary people of all shapes and sizes, like very confidently showing off their bodies. So I think that it's almost like a more...
Yeah. I mean, they...
Not to say it doesn't.
Well, I think my experience in the queer community has been like, they love that, like they're happy I exist, you know? It's not the same thing as like when I'm in a straight bar or like literally just walking down the street, living my life.
Yeah.
And some straight man's like, hey, you're fat. And I'm like, cool, thank you. Guess we're just saying facts today. but so yeah, like in my experience, there hasn't been as much just outright disgust or, you know, like shame.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean they want to fuck me or would ever admit to being attracted to me.
Huh.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does.
Like, it's this idea that they know all the hashtags. They love to, like my photo on Instagram.
Sure.
I get told all the time, like, oh, my God, you're, like, so fabby. Like, oh, my God, you're fierce. Like, you're so, brave, you know, this idea.
Oh, God.
It's like, I'm brave how? Why? Just like, because I have the audacity
to live in
the body I live in.
Yeah. Right.
Like, this isn't Saving Private Ryan. I'm not running into a burning house. Like, is the burning house my own body? Like, it's truly in my experience, and this isn't limited to the queer community. Like, every day in New York, people are shocked that I am not just like living like Gilbert Grape's mom, you know, in a house.
Right.
In front, like on a couch. They're like, oh, wow.
Yeah.
Look at you out here all on your own.
Yeah.
In an outfit, seemingly happy.
Right.
Good for you.
How brave.
Yeah, how brave of you. Where did you get this confidence?
Yeah. You know, we mentioned the show Shrill before.
Yeah.
And I watched it. I loved it. I felt like seems crazy that it almost like took so long for something like that to be made, but just I don't know. So my sister is has always struggled with her weight, and my mom is so much like the mom in Shrill that I keep telling my mom to watch it to see if she'll have like a shred of a Mulan moment.
Yeah. Like, this is my reflection.
Yeah. Like the specific thing about like, let's diet together. And my mom thinking like she's being encouraging, but meanwhile, she's like constantly telling my sister she needs to be dieting. Yeah.
The mom character in that show made me wildly uncomfortable. Like,
but that's real.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. That's like, I don't know.
Yeah, like that faux concern thing. I don't know.
Right. Well, it's always the framing of weight. Like, people can openly be fat phobic because we've created this narrative that it's out of concern for fat people's health.
Yeah.
Right? So this idea that you're being helpful by telling someone that their body isn't adhering to certain standards.
Yeah.
Its body isn't, like, I have an unruly body and it is, like, scary to you and disgusting to you, and you are telling me that constantly.
Yeah.
Like, being fat is always, being aware of the fact that I have a body. And I think being a woman, in a lot of ways, is always being aware of the fact that you have a body. Because men...
Especially if large breasts.
Yeah.
I feel... I have very small breasts, and I, like, because... you know, society says like that's not an attractive thing. Like growing up, I was always like, man, I wish my boobs were bigger. I wish my boobs, but now, like now as
not
an
too
adult,
big.
Yeah,
well,
I know,
then,
right.
Well, then,
there's such a small window in which we are allowed to like exist and look
with our body types. Tiny, but I'm so glad and thankful now that I didn't grow up with large breasts, because I know that like the attention from men specifically that invites and the commentary from that is something that I feel like I've been privileged to have missed my whole life.
The privilege, well, not getting attention from men has come with my masculine presentation evolving, although it still fucking happens. I did get a marriage proposal on the street the other day, so we're very happy.
Yeah.
Good for you.
Thank you. Yeah, he's wonderful. anyway, I but moving on, like back to like kind of your framing of like within the queer community, how people are. Do you find that? Like, what do you find as far as, like queer spaces that are accepting of, that are, like you said, everyone knows the hashtag. I love how you said that. Like, we know the hashtags, we know the things to say.
Right.
Do you feel in those spaces that it does reflect that, or is it just people kind of being performatively like, we love every, like.
Well, I mean, I think I'm speaking specifically to New York, like, as I'm sure you well know, both of you, like, most of the queer spaces are predominantly, like, gay male spaces.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And so when I enter into those worlds, I'm, like, constantly being told by these men, like, how fabulous I am and, like, sparkly and, like, fierce, right? So I'm, like, this shiny, fun thing because I'm, like, like a novelty in a way.
Mm-hmm.
And it is this idea that, like, fat-bodied women, either you're, like, the nice girl, like, you're quiet and nice and, like, Hannah, like, she's just sweet to everyone.
Yeah.
Or your other opportunity, like, your other avenue for how your personality develops is, like, you're loud and sassy and, like, brash. And so I think that's how I'm coded in any space I enter. They're like, uh-oh, this girl's gonna be a real who.
Yeah. Like, fabulous alert.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And, like, I never feel, I don't, like, unsafe or like, a push of hatred, but I never feel desirable.
Mm-hmm.
And there's, like, only so many times that you can, like, be in a bar with the intention of, like, meeting someone, right?
Yeah.
Like, being horny as fuck.
Yeah.
And, like, talking to all these women who keep telling you, like, how cool you are and how fun you are. But then ultimately, like, when it comes down to it, they're like, but I would never be attracted to you.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I mean, and it's, like, I do think in a lot of ways, like, you're allowed to say you're not attracted to fat people as, like, a manner of taste. You know?
Right,
it's like,
right.
Well, that's just my...
It is kind of the one thing that people are generally allowed to, in so many words, say, which is kind of fun.
Right, like on every dating app, they're just like, I only want, like, someone who's, like, healthy.
Yeah,
like,
oh, I'm
so
hate sporty, that.
Like, athletic.
Yeah. I mean, I haven't been on the apps, but that is a...
I have, it's a thing.
A thing where you say what kind of body types... Yeah.
Right.
You're
which is like, must we? We all know what kind of body types they want.
Yeah.
It's generally not mine.
Yeah. I don't know.
But I mean, like, what I struggle with specifically in the queer community is I do think in a lot of ways fat bodies are acceptable or like, in any community, I think fatness we see as like unfeminine in a lot of ways. It's like, particularly for women, it's like not the way a female body is supposed to look. And so when I was growing up, I didn't feel like I can access femininity. And like, what was wild is that because my body was like, boys that I would grow up with, like, well, that's not a body I'm attracted to. That's not someone I want to fuck. That's not doing womanhood right. You're a dyke. And so for a long time, I would struggle. Like, it sucks when you're, to go back to a Mulan reflection moment, it sucks when your Mulan reflection moment comes from a kid named, like, Danny, who's like, fuck you, fat girl, you big lesbian. And you're like, I'm not gay. Like, right? Like, I didn't want everything they said to be true.
Yeah.
Right, right.
And they didn't know I was gay. It wasn't because, like, they knew that at every sleepover, I'd be like, guys, we should practice kissing on each other, huh?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, that's how we're gonna get good.
Yeah.
They said it just because they're like, I'm not attracted to you. And so, and like, you're not doing, you don't look like a girl is supposed to look.
Yeah.
So you're like a lesbian, right? Like, that's not a girl in a correct way.
Right, right.
Yeah. And so I do think for a long time, I wasted so much time by being like, no, like, I can't also be gay.
Yeah.
Like, I can't let them be right about that too.
Yeah.
Like, I can't be like fat and like poor and get like,
yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
Give me something.
Right. And so then it's interesting where I think, in queer spaces, in my experience, fat bodies, fat-bodied women, fat-bodied people tend to be butcher and a lot more masculine, you know? Mm. And so I feel like it's a weird line where I'm, like, not really doing it right. Like, maybe my body would be accepted if I adhered to, like, one aesthetic. And it's weird. Like, I don't think the way that we talk about androgyny in, like, queer spaces or, like, androgynous women.
Yeah.
Always it's, like, women who are super tiny and slight, who look like preteen boys. Like,
so right. You're so right. I'm actually...
Like, Ruby Rose kind of, like...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or even more, I guess, well, we don't have any other celebrities to equate to, but... Yeah, I see what you mean. Like, the sort of, like, the kind of like boyish sort of.
But I've never thought about that before. Like someone like Lea Delaria, you'd never be like, oh, she's androgynous. You'd be like, she's butch.
Yeah.
Right, right.
And that the stereotype of butch used to be, and in some, for a lot of people still is, like a fat woman with short hair.
Yeah.
And that's a butch lesbian. Yeah. And if you're a skinny woman with short hair, you're androgynous.
Yeah, because like fatness is inevitably like taking up space, and to take up space is masculine.
Yeah.
And so to be fat, you're both like neither feminine correctly, not really masculine correctly. You're just like in this like weird nowhere space, but that's also not androgynous, you know?
Right.
So it's like, because it's like fat men are often portrayed like feminine, right? They're like weak. They're not like, you're not, your body is like not performing to these standards. Like you should be in the gym, like fucking jacking up, whatever.
Yeah.
So there is like a femininity attracted to fat men. And then like fat women, in my experience, it was a lot of this like kind of masculinity projected on me. But I was like, well,
that's not your vibe at all.
That's not my vibe.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm just like a classic hard femme. Please.
There was a joke
at the bottom of the closet of a bottom. The sexual proclivities of a top. Choke me.
Multitudes.
Multitudes.
As far as like comedy goes, like you're this is like where. The kind of going back to what you said about how fat women are always like the sassy friend I'm here to shake things up. You know, do you feel like pop culturally I feel like the only example we've had so far of a character who is not that like kind of silly sidekick sort of character has been Edie Bryant in Shrill. And that's why it was so important. But do you feel like, I haven't seen your show, but have you felt like generally in comedy, that's just what's expected, is just like, you're supposed to be this like, hey, like it's a sort of caricature kind of person?
Yeah, I mean, I think in general, in media, women, fat women aren't given the opportunity to be the stars of their own story.
Yeah.
You're just seen as like the accessory to someone else's.
Yeah. Well, I would say unless it's like, your fatness is like the center of the conflict.
Yeah.
Right, right.
Yeah.
And that's like the one thing about Shrill that kind of sucks. Like Shrill was very important and awesome and funny, and I loved it. But it's like, oh, this is like such an interesting character. It sucks that like the primary conflict is like her struggles with her weight. Yeah. But we also kind of need that. So
yeah. But they also, I think, did a good job of making a lot of her story and her conflict like, you know, professional.
Yeah, I mean, my favorite part of the story.
And, like, yes. Yeah.
The things I got from it, because I do think in a lot of ways, Shrill, and like not to minimize what other people got from it.
Yeah.
You know, like people came to it different, like with different experiences of like the fat acceptance movement. Like, maybe people who didn't, who like don't have exposure to like fat women living out loud like that.
Yeah.
It really meant a lot to them.
Yeah.
I would say for me, I was kind of like, yeah, okay, yeah, yeah, yeah. Just as, like, the general, I was like, yeah, I mean, this is cool. I mean, the sex scenes for me were huge. I think, like, seeing, like, real, just, like, real sexual scenes of, like, a man wanting her or anyone wanting her.
Yeah.
Physically, I was like, this is awesome. And, like, they weren't they were unabashed in how they showed her body. And, like, Edie brought in, like, took her top off and, like, straddled the dude.
Yep.
And that was really rad to see. And also what I valued is that towards the end, like, she was also just a shitty person. Like, I liked how the final episodes, we kind of end in this place where you realize how narcissistic she was being.
Yeah.
And, like, people call her out on her shit.
Yeah.
And I'm like, cool, great. Like, she's not just this woman who's having this, like, empowering move, and we're all on board with it.
Yeah.
And, like, hell yeah, girl. Like, live your truth. Like, I do like that we're also calling her out and letting her be multidimensional.
Yeah.
Yeah, let her be an actual human with flaws.
Right.
And
it's like cool for you that you're feeling confident, but also you're being a bad friend.
Yeah.
When you were talking before about like these roles that fat women get, I was thinking of Rebel Wilson in the trailer for Cats.
Oh, no.
And
and
then it's like they CGI all these.
Why do the male cats wear clothes and the women cats don't wear clothes?
Yeah, call it that.
They have like tits. Like, Well, are they animals?
Only Rebel.
I don't get
only
it.
Only Rebel Wilson seemed to have.
She
tits,
had,
and then
boobs,
it's like
no one else did.
And then she's like falling over. It's like, oh, she's the ungraceful.
Oh, Rebel Wilson.
I'm like,
ruins me. Like she is destroying. And like that's very unkind. You know, like she's doing the best she can, and I'm sure like. You take the roles that
the
you're
bills.
Given, right?
Yeah.
But I'm like, Jesus, girl, the fuck?
Yeah.
Like, every part of her comedy, like, revolves around this, like, what an outlandish idea that, like, a fat woman being sexual is hilarious.
Yeah.
Like, we can laugh at it because, like, who would ever possibly, like, want that?
Yeah.
You know? And so the sheer idea of her in, like, any of those Pitch Perfect movies,
yes.
all
I hate
the
it.
Joke would always be like, give me a fucking... dick to much. I don't know.
Yeah.
That's not-
I haven't seen them, but I'll take your word for it.
Let me play that dick like a recorder. Like I'm gonna play hot cross buns up and down that thing. Oh, I beat you.
You sure did.
And like the only reason it was funny is because people were like, oh my God, she's fat.
Yeah.
Right. Like, why is that a fucking punchline? Like,
yeah.
I just think it's lazy comedy. I'm over it. Like I said earlier, I don't, like, lazy jokes offend the shit out of me.
Yeah.
I really can't stand it anymore.
Well, that's why it is so important to me. Like, my stand-up, I try to, like, engage with my body. Like, it's important to me to call myself fat. And, like, a lot of people, would prefer not to use that term. And, like, that is their, I am happy for anyone to identify in any of the ways that which they are comfortable, that makes them feel empowered.
Yeah.
You know? But for me... and like I am not alone in this. Like this has been a movement of which that I've like benefited from greatly.
Yeah.
Like to use a word fat is important to me because it is a word that on its own should have no negative connotation.
Right.
Yes.
It's just the state, like the truth of my body.
Yeah.
Right. Like I have fat on my body.
Whereas overweight makes it sound like you're not
there's like
normal.
A normal.
It's like
and
it has a sort of clinical application.
And then like any of the other things, like there was this woman on the train and this is interactions. We're only fat women get. But yesterday I was going out to meet my friends. I got on the subway. This woman on an empty train sits right next to me and I'm like, oh, okay, here we go. And she was very sweet and she was like, oh, you look amazing. I was like, thank you so much. And she's like, no, you look really great. I was like, cool, thank you, thank you. And she was like, you know, it's so nice to see like a chunkier girl doing what like the skinny girls do all the time and succeed. And I was like, you know, you could, and it's fine. Like, I'm not offended, but I was like, why do you have to hedge your compliment like that, right? Like, why is
it
framed in like, you're doing so great for a fat girl?
Yeah.
Like, God bless.
Like, with that caveat on there, it's
truly
so fucking.
Always come, like, and I'm like, all right, thank you.
To me, that feels like that woman was just like trying to make herself feel like I did a good thing today. Like,
well, she was also another fat woman too.
Oh, okay.
So it was like she was trying to create some like sisterly conspiracy. Like, we're doing it.
Yeah.
And I was like, you don't like to me. Like, the most interesting thing about me isn't that I'm fat. Like, isn't that I'm queer? You know, like these are important aspects of my identity that I'm very open about.
Yeah.
And like informs how I navigate through this world. A lot of the reason, like by no choice of mine, right? Like I have to acknowledge these things because they are quote unquote abnormal and people remind me of them all the time. So I've had to like embrace them and celebrate them. But it's also like I have other things.
Yeah.
Right.
Like I look cool because I look cool.
Yeah, you do. Yeah.
I look cool in any size.
It's crazy too the way that fat people are judged differently for doing the exact same things as people who aren't fat. Like you could have a fat person and a skinny person enter the same cafe, both order two donuts apiece, and everyone's looking at the fat person being like, oh, well, you know.
Right.
It's so exhausting.
But nobody's thinking like, well, that skinny person is literally
nothing
doing the exact
feels
same thing.
The rage, and then this like new accepted, like so fun, so quirky brand of like. Generally, I would say straight girl comedy, but like I'm sure it's not like just qualified to that. But it's like this whole like Instagram meme culture of like boyfriend, what boyfriend? Do you mean Papa John's?
Yeah.
Yeah, like pizza. Like, fuck you.
Yeah.
My best Friday night. like sitting down with a box of donuts.
Yeah, that whole like I'm a mess in a cute way thing is like kind of exhausting. It's like a very
It's like, sure, I'm a girl, but guess what? I love Cheetos.
Yeah.
And it's like, that is so inaccessible to me. Like, no one would find it cute or funny if I was like, uh-oh, guess what I did? Like, just fucked the garlic butter that came with this breadstick.
Everyone would be like, that's so sad.
Everyone would be like, yeah, you probably did.
Everyone probably would be like, wow, she confirmed my suspicions.
Yeah, exactly. It is like, you sad clown.
Yeah.
Like, and it is exactly right. The amount of time that I waste thinking, like, should I order this dessert? Like, everyone's gonna see me eating it.
Yeah.
Like, that's only going to reconfirm all the assumptions they've made about my body and the way I, quote unquote, got this way.
Right.
Yeah.
And, like, the way I live my life.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is kind of an annoying, like, skinny girl culture is so, and it is kind of, it feels to me like a very straight skinny girl culture thing.
Yeah.
The more food they're talking about, the funnier the joke somehow.
Right. I think it follows in the lineage of like cool girl culture. Like they're I'm not like other girls.
I'm a cool girl.
Right. Like, don't worry, boys. I'm not going to order a salad. Boy.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm going to get wings with you and like,
it's kind of that pick me shit that straight girls do with men. That's just kind of like, I see you, girl. Like, I see what you're doing. You know, it's kind of.
And
like,
I don't blame. Believe me, I don't blame them.
It's yeah,
like, yeah,
no.
You've been taught your whole life that the only value you have is a value that is given to you by men.
Right, right. But it's still like pop culturally. I think it's annoying, and it's like everywhere in memes.
For
it's all over Instagram, I couldn't scroll faster.
liking pizza is not a personality. You cannot replace. Your
personality. You like pizza and wine,
right?
Wow.
Oh, you also like
dogs. Here's a 30-minute Netflix special. Like, I have to hear more from you. I need more content,
please,
Stacey.
Tell me. Yeah. This is blowing my mind. What do you mean you don't like drama?
You like to travel. It's like that whole, which is another thing, but like the whole travel thing on Instagram
quote unquote
too.
Like gypsy, like every girl. Yeah, I'm just a gypsy vagabond. I'm like, you're fucking. Read
no,
a
you're
book.
Just rich.
Read one book that's not Harry Potter.
Yeah.
Can everyone in this world read one book? Go to the library.
We need more books than just Harry Potter. We need more shows than The Office.
Yeah.
We need, and I love The Office, but I'm
wow, we've taken a real turn.
We really
into,
have.
Like,
now we're just attacking the internet.
Yeah.
We're literally just about to fist fight the internet at this point.
Back to me and all my middle school traumas. Back down, no one wanted to kiss me. I mean, it is crazy. Like, to go back to this idea of like, I do think my fatness or the way that my like, how I presented and I was forced to present in a lot of ways, right? This idea of like, when I was younger, I couldn't go to like Limited 2 with Jess and Brianne.
Yeah.
Like truly in no, like those shorts wouldn't fit one thigh.
Right.
Yeah.
And so I got into this habit of wearing like men's carpenter jeans.
Yeah.
Like, from Old Navy, because truly it was the only thing.
That's all I could wear. Yeah.
And all I just wanted was like, just cover, like just put it away.
Yeah.
Tent it up. And yet, like, I still didn't know I was gay. Like, I would do all, like, when it was, like, a Ja Rule Ashanti song, I would automatically do the Ja Rule parts.
Yep.
And I was like, but
what's
surely.
What's my motherfucking name? Yeah.
Jay-Z, right. Mariah.
So they, like, I think we're in high school at the exact same time.
Yeah.
Yes, we were.
The whole clothing world, too, like, fashion in general, I think is, I hope, it's getting better as far as like size inclusivity and things like that. I think it's funny now that like brands are becoming like aware of that.
Right.
And then they want to be congratulated for it.
Right. Well, I mean, it's like how we had TD Bank presents Pride this year.
Exactly.
You know, it's like on one hand, you're like, this is grotesque. And I see through this like pink washing, this like manipulative capitalist, like, oh, sure. Gay people exist.
Yeah.
In a lot of ways. Yeah. There was like some brands were like, guess what? Like, all bodies are cool bodies.
Right.
And they'll have someone who's like a size of like 12.
Exactly.
And I'm like, that's okay.
Yeah.
That's like barely fit. And again, that's very, please don't attack me. I know like that is such a big thing. Like the who gets to be qualified. Like,
right.
I don't want to enter. Like, I think whatever you think you are.
Yeah.
But
it does feel like these brands, like big fashion companies kind of want a huge, they want a pat on the back.
Yeah, they want to get in having and doing the
XL
leaves.
To XL. They want to have this lingerie cut.
Well, and like a
bras that have like inclusive sizing now, like that. And then
in a lot of ways, catering to women who are the smaller sizes of fat and also fat in the right ways.
Right.
Yeah. Right? Like women who have like huge asses, big tits, but still like pretty small waist.
Right, right.
Pretty smaller thighs, like a more sexual, like sexually attractive distribution of weight.
Yeah.
Roxane Gay has this like, just incredible writing about all of this.
I love Roxane Gay. I would give anything to find out who her nemesis is that she talks about on Twitter.
I would.
Who is it? It's the mystery of the century.
I would strangle my mother. I would watch the life go out of her eyes to find this out.
For just someone to tell me, affirm who it is.
Unfortunately, she won't dig out with us.
I know.
Which she has every right not to. That was the best rejection we ever got.
It was the coolest rejection. She just said no thank you.
Oh, it was like thanks, but no thanks.
But she responded
but
to us.
But she responded. That was very nice of her. Yeah.
A rejection from Roxane Gay is better than an acceptance from almost anyone else.
I was giddy. But anyway.
But no, she has a saying that I might be misquoting, but I'm pretty, like she refers to like Lane Bryant fat.
Yes.
Which like, I am. Like it's this idea that yes, I am fat. And like I haven't had it easy, per se, right? Like, I've still struggled, but I can still find clothes that fit me.
You can still go to a mall. Yeah.
Right.
Whereas, like, there are women who are bigger than me who can't.
Yeah.
Like, can't go anywhere.
Yeah.
And, like, what is crazy to me is that still so often, I was like, oh, what was it about? It was, like, something maybe to do with Halloween. This is very stupid, like, reasoning. But it was something about, oh, no, I, like, had an event that I had to go to. And my outfit hadn't arrived. Like, I had ordered something on ASOS. Sponsor me.
Yeah.
And it didn't get there on time. By no fault of your own, ASOS, please sponsor me. And then when I'm, like, a coworker, which is like, oh, well, like, go to Zara or whatever and pick up a dress. I was like, oh, in what world do you think I live in that I can walk into a Zara and find something in my size? Like, I can't. Like, all my clothing.
Right. That's a very oblivious thing.
I usually come from, like, I have to, like, pre-prepare. Like, I have to prepare.
Yeah, yeah. I only wear men's clothing, and I am actually at the largest size in most stores.
That's nuts.
For men's clothes. Yeah. Not for shirts and tops and things like that, but, like, pants. Like, I 36, 38 is generally the largest that men's clothing will go
That's
in, like,
wild.
A regular store. Like Zara Men or H&M or Uniqlo or, you know, like, kind of your fast fashion. Like, that's the price range I prefer to shop in.
Right.
I fucking hate spending money on clothes, but that's kind of, I'm sort of like maxed out in that, which is crazy to think about.
Right,
but
because
also
I know men who are bigger.
Absolutely.
Than
so I'm like,
bigger.
Where the
so
fuck
like,
are they getting clothes? It's not exclusive to women. It's like, I think it's worse for women, but.
Yeah. I mean, for men, I feel like because the way they carry their weight a little bit differently, like a lot of them carry it in their stomach, so they can still wear
I get it. I'm trying to wear
men's
clothing,
have the smallest chicken legs, but like when he gains weight, it is
men generally do in their midsection.
1,000,000% in his stomach. So his shirt, but all the shirts are just like these big button downs that accommodate everything. And then,
Yeah, it's kind of bizarre.
It's not like that.
But but I'm also trying to fit into clothes that are literally not made for women.
I would imagine like hips and,
things
like
that. It's the
hips
that I have to get a larger size for, and then they're a little too big in the leg. And also I try to get like button ups and I have deep. It just like it doesn't really work.
Yeah.
But it's whatever. That's my choice, I guess.
So we need to start wrapping up. But is there any, I don't know, final thoughts?
Like what a...
Who would you suggest as far as like writers and people in like in media and things like that to follow for more like sort of rounded, thoughtful content on?
Sure. Oh, that's such a good question. And I'm going to give like the most like intro level answer. Like obviously Roxane Gay and
Lindy West
are the first names that come to mind.
Those are
There's
the two
so
that I go
many
to.
More.
Yeah.
But I just...
I think as far as fashion, do you follow Nicolette Mason?
Oh, I do, yeah.
Yeah, on Instagram.
Cool, I was also thrilled when I found out that she was gay.
I know. I didn't actually know that until very recently.
Yeah, me either.
Yeah.
I was like, how nice.
I know, right? Yeah, she's amazing.
Cool.
Anywho.
Thank you so much for talking about this because it's definitely something like that our listeners have asked us to talk about. Body types. And it's just something that... you know, so many people can relate to.
Well, to all my fellow fat queers who are listening to this, I see you.
Yep.
I love you. You're fucking killing it. And, like, slide into my DMs.
Yeah.
I would smooch all of you. Yeah. Really anyone, slide on in. She is thirsty. Not just because it's summer.
All right, so now it's time for our listener question. And before we get into this, quick disclaimer, this is a comedy podcast, and
we are not licensed therapists.
So we're doing our best, and if it's not, you know, we can't be held accountable for...
Right,
like we generally can't be held accountable for anything we say.
Yeah.
I just made a joke about playing a dick like a recorder. I am unqualified to, like, help you, but I will.
I mean, please hold us accountable for things, but also, like, this is
we
just the advice of,
problems,
of two silly dykes plus
we're
a guest.
I mean,
I'm a Pisces, so again, I can solve your problem.
Okay, Colette's going to solve your problems today.
I'm connected to the cosmos.
This isn't related to this specific question, but just in general. Also, please send your questions in dykingout@gmail.com. We'd love to get them. We'd love to do our best in answering them.
And we love a concisely worded question.
Yeah, please word it concisely or Sarah will roast you. Okay. So this is a listener who came out to their family right before they moved from Asia to San Francisco. Mm. So that's the context here. They didn't take it well. Her mom implied that gay women aren't real women and that she should go to counseling to, quote, get her back on track. Until this moment, I thought I had the best parents in the world. It's been 4 months. I've barely spoken with them, and I'm struggling with this because they were great when I was growing up, blah, blah, blah. I can't help but wonder, is this part of the reality of being queer? Should I try to change their minds while knowing that they think I'm some kind of freak? Even if I try to reconcile with them, I just feel too hurt to be the one making the first move and meet them halfway. I hate this so much, this scenario where kids feel like they, like, no matter how old you are, that you have to be the adult in the situation.
Right.
It's just so fucking unfair when your parents are obviously clearly in the wrong here.
Yeah. And also, you're definitely not alone. I think the queer experience of parents being either unwilling to talk about it, best case scenario, or like they ignore it, best case scenario, or they just outright, like, can't stand this about you. That's definitely a common thing. So you're definitely not alone in that.
Yeah.
Without context of, like, how old you are, does it say, I don't know, not that that super matters, but, like, that's kind of, as queer people, a rite of passage for us is just, like, fucking be yourself and kind of develop that, like, steel skin about this thing.
Yeah.
Because there's nothing wrong with you, and there's everything wrong with them in the way that they're thinking. So I don't know. It's hard. It's like, you know, sometimes we can't really, like, have the best of these worlds. We can't have this relationship back with our parents that we used to have. And that's just the way it is. And it sucks. But sometimes that's just how they are, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know what to tell you. Then it's going to just be yourself and it's going to get better. And the more confident you are in your life and your sexuality, you're going to feel better. But they may not always be on board.
Well, I also think the way that we've constructed this narrative of the coming out, like coming out, has done us such a disservice because, and like, you know, it's so important to see in media, but also it's done us as a service of, like, kind of keeping things tight, like, buttoning up to, like, a 30-minute, one-hour arc where either the parents come around or the parents don't come around, but then this the queer person is able to find this, like, beautiful other community, which is all true. But I also think we need to create space for stories that don't follow maybe this, like, ideal scenarios of, like, your parents accepting you 100%. You can introduce your girlfriend or boyfriend, and they're so loving, and they celebrate. Like, I think it is up to you, or you have this opportunity now to, like, negotiate what is important to you, what you think, what you want your relationship with your parents to look like.
Yeah.
I think it is possible to still love them and have a relationship with them where maybe you don't talk about your sexual orientation with you. And, like, if that's okay with you, I think there's no shame in that.
Yeah.
Right? Like, some people in the community might feel like, no, you need to, like, they need to accept you. They need to, like, be out there on the streets, like, P-flagging it up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, unfortunately, like,
that's not the reality.
That's not the reality for everyone.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so whatever you need to do to create a relationship with your parents or not, Mm-hmm. Whatever you need to do to like be happy and feel supported.
Yeah.
There really is no wrong answer.
There's no wrong answer.
Other than the only wrong answer would be you living some sort of lie to appease them. But that's
It would be like, don't pretend like it doesn't hurt you.
Yeah.
Like I think they need to know that it's that it is hurtful.
Yeah.
And if you know, it's okay to communicate that. Say, this is very hurtful. I do want a relationship with you. I hope that you can do the work to find a way to be okay with this. But this is very much who I am.
Yeah, and if they don't want to answer your call, there was, I don't know what the politics are of bringing up another podcast on a podcast, but there is an episode of Nancy that's really great, particularly specific to the Asian experience. It was one of the woman hosts of the show, whose name I don't remember.
Kathy Tu.
She has an incredible episode about coming out to her mom and the multiple times that she had to come out to her mom because her mom just refused to hear it or acknowledge it.
Yes.
And she wrote a letter to her mom, which I thought was so powerful and so smart.
Yeah.
Because a letter forces you to like sit with it and engage with it. And you also get the opportunity to kind of do it on your own terms.
Yeah.
So if your parents can't have a conversation with you to your face or refuse to get on the phone with you, you don't, like maybe a text doesn't give you the amount of space that you want. I feel like a letter could be...
Yeah, a letter or a long email, whatever you want to do. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I would listen to that episode. Good.
Yeah, definitely. It's going to be okay. You're going to, as you get older and as you sort of hit other milestones in your queer life, as you get into relationships and things like that, things will start to come together and you'll find your own identity. And however your parents are lucky enough to fit into your life at that point, then that's it. Like, they are going to be fortunate to be included in your life. And if they choose not to be, then that's their decision and they'll have to live with that.
Yeah, the onus is on them.
Yeah,
Step up because you invited them to take part in something that is...
That's really great.
Important to you. Yeah, and beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah.
And if they don't want to...
Fuck them.
Fuck them.
Well, thank you so much for writing in, and thank you everybody for listening. Colette, how can people find you on social media?
Guys, you can follow me on Instagram at Young, Y-U-N-G, Baba Yaga, like the Russian witch. So that's why, because that tells you everything about me and how I see myself. So it's Y-U-N-G, B-A-B-A-Y-A-G-A.
And when is your next show at Stonewall?
The next show at Stonewall is whenever Olivia says on her episode that the next show is Stonewall. It is usually the last Thursday of the month. But if you follow me on Instagram, you can definitely get that information. And you can follow our show at I Think We're Alone Now, where the O in now is a zero because nothing is easy.
Yeah.
So it's I Think We're with a... So W-E-R-E, no exclamation point, now N-0-W.
I'm already obsessed with your Instagram, by the way.
Oh, man, thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah, y'all will see just how cute I am if you follow me. You should follow me.
And follow us at Dyking Out. We're not as cute, but you can follow us at Dyking Out anyway.
That's not true. I see you in my eyes.
You can follow me at TGI Carolyn.
And I'm at the Sarah York.
And you can get extra content from us on Patreon at patreon.com/dykingout for as little as $3 a month. So do that. Thanks for dyking out with us this week, and we hope you tune in next week. Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Buntwine, erstwhile monk turned traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Buntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.